And it is 28 minutes after the hour. It's a Transcendent Tuesday, and you know what that means. It means that Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and the only scientist we have on staff here at Broken Road Radio. So, Don, we expect you to be an expert in just about every field of science there is. I know you have biochemistry, and you've done pharmaceuticals for a long time. And I know that all comes in handy in your winemaking, because you do formulas and test tubes and Bunsen burners and stuff to get the wine right. But we tend to go to you for anything that even hints of science. And you've done a magnificent job, I should say.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't know. I'm more of a generalist than, I've got a pretty deep knowledge, obviously in biochemistry and molecular biology and that type of stuff, and in clinical research, because I did that for a number of years, so I know how clinical research should be done. But thank you.
Well, you know what it means when they say trust the science, because maybe you do, I don't.
Well, it's... Are you trusting the facts? Are you trusting the data? Or are you trusting the scientists?
Good. Or trusting the people, who interpret the data and give you their opinions about the data.
Exactly. It's become more about opinions than it has been, about actual, true science.
Now, we've had some great discussions on vaccines and COVID and so forth. But today the topic is dinosaurs. And I've got to tell you, I've been... The Flintstones?
Oh, yes. The Flintstones and the opposite end of the spectrum, the Jetsons.
Well, yes. The Flintstones are on my mind today, though, because that's you remember the kids, Pebbles and Bam Bam?
Yes. They had a pet dinosaur.
Do you remember the name of that pet dinosaur?
I think it was Dino.
Dino or the point
Dino,
being...
Maybe it was...
The point being that... They got it right. There was this dinosaur about the size of a German Shepherd who could fetch and roll over and jump on the couch. And this article suggests to me that there was a time when dinosaurs would not eat you.
Well, and perhaps if some were around today, they wouldn't eat you either.
Well, maybe. And you remember when Fred went to work in the Flintstones, he worked in like a quarry or some sort of a mining thing. And they had large dinosaurs doing the grunt work. They took the place of large machinery, which, of course, would come many moons later. So the idea was that dinosaurs were domesticated. Do you suppose that in the Garden of Eden, dinosaurs could have been gentle pets?
Well, they certainly wouldn't have been the ferocious creatures that are often displayed now. We get our information from Genesis with regard to that, because all the land animals were created on day six of creation. And not only in, of course, the pinnacle, the end of creation was the creation of man and woman, but dinosaurs were created on day six. So they were probably parts of the beast of the field, and some of them, I'm sure. As is quoted in the Bible, there's several places in the Bible that talk about dinosaurs or dragons. Mm-hmm. Or sea monsters and things like that, today we would probably, because of the name change back in the 1800s.
I noticed that 1841 was the year that they coined the word dinosaur. Up until that point, they were called dragons, which would explain a lot from ancient literature, where they refer to dragons. It might not have been just this flying pterodactyl-like thing that we see in the movies these days.
Well, right. And, of course, you can find in the Bible both a sea monster called a leviathan, which we may call a plesiosaur today, might have been a plesiosaur, and a behemoth, which is more like a brachiosaurus. type of creature. And there is even a flying dinosaur or a flying dragon mentioned in scripture as well. And that's in Isaiah 14:29. It talks about a flying serpent, which is probably more akin to the pterodactyls that
That brings something else to mind too, because when I hear the word dinosaur, I immediately picture a Tyrannosaurus Rex, big teeth, big head, animal eater, meat eater sort of thing. But there were in fact a lot of herbivorous dinosaurs, were there not? I mean, they've established that from fossils and bone recovery.
Well, not only that, all animals were herbaceous, ate plants and fruits and nuts and things like that. So, including the dinosaurs. So the dinosaurs weren't meat eaters. There were no meat eaters in the beginning. Even lions. And you say, well, wait a minute, the lion's designed to eat meat. Yes and no. They're also designed to eat plants, and so every animal was designed to eat plants. It was only after Adam and Eve fell God curse the ground, and it was certainly only after the flood did the animals start, man in particular, started eating meat, because the nutritional value of plants had decreased because of the quality of the earth had decreased after the global flood.
So it wasn't sin. Well, here's a maybe a technical point you can help me with. Sin happened, and there's some span of time between that time, original sin, and the flood. Were there meat eaters in that interval?
That's a good question, because it doesn't. The Bible doesn't necessarily address that. It does address, as far as God giving permission to Noah, for example, and his family to eat meat after the flood. But before that time, it really doesn't address the issue. But certainly, the relationship, for example, between man and animals changed, because animals were given the fear of man. So it's possible that, Adam and his descendants, Adam and Eve's descendants, could have been eating meat before that time. But more than likely, as far as man was concerned, it was probably after the flood. But we don't know about the animals.
And I say that's a technicality, but the real issue here is that sin permeated the whole creation. It didn't just affect Adam and Eve.
Oh, no, not at all. And, of course, other places, even in the New Testament, you find that the whole earth groans because of sin. And not only the earth, but all of creation groans. So that means the stars, the galaxies, all of creation is awaiting the return of Jesus to kind of remake it into a more perfect environment that it was before man sinned. When God finished creation on day six, and he made man, he said that it was very good, and everything that he created was very good, that it was complete, that it was perfect. The environment that man lived was perfect. The environment that the animals lived, which meant that, of course, all of the stars were in the places that they were supposed to be. The sun and all of the galaxies were exactly where they were supposed to be to make life perfect here on Earth. But when man sinned, of course, that created not only literally, ultimately created a tsunami throughout the universe, if you want to think of it that way, which then started this decay, which we, of course, now call entropy. Entropy is only increasing with time. It's not decreasing. So entropy, you can think thermodynamic term, entropy is, order goes to chaos. And if you've ever had children, you can see that if you order their room, for example, or a playroom, it doesn't take them long to make it, to turn it into chaos. And so you have to input energy into the system.
Well, you're saying they do what comes naturally then. So yeah.
You have to put energy into the system in order to bring back the order. And you can think of sin, actually, and I don't know how we got on this topic, but you can think of sin as causing disorder, and the order that was originally there at the end of day six of creation, the perfect order that was there, sin then disrupted that, and God's hand started to, if you will, pull back from man and from this physical universe that we live in, and hence his pulling back doesn't input the energy required or the order that is required to bring perfect order back into the universe.
Another question comes to mind now from this article, and I'll read the first couple of sentences here. A Florida woman recently received national attention when she suggested, somewhat in jest, that a long-tailed creature captured in the early morning home security footage looked like a dinosaur. And is there a chance that there's some, I don't know how you define a dinosaur, but they don't have to be huge and ferocious. Is it possible that there are dinosaurs with us yet today?
Well, there is. It is. Yes, it is possible. Now, of course, you can think back at the knights in England and they going off and slaying the dinosaur that was terrorizing a village. But I believe it's certainly possible that the some dinosaurs, albeit probably small because the earth isn't perfect anymore, may still be alive. Now, there has been some sightings of pterodactyls, for example, in the Congo, but every time you try to, you try to look at one, they kind of disappear. There might be even some Brachiosaurus or Brontosaurus in the Congo. In Guatemala, you can find some pots with triceratops drawn on them, and people suggest that there's little triceratops in various places that are running around. So it wouldn't surprise me if we find, dinosaurs still living today.
There's evidence that they're not. That they're not millions of years old. I know we've talked about it here, where soft tissue has been found in dinosaur bones, recently recovered and examined by competent people who immediately reap the whirlwind from their scientific compadres who refuse to accept the fact that dinosaurs are younger than 65 million years old. That suggests, that's a hint at least, that yeah, maybe they still are here.
Well, they could very well possibly be, because of course you're talking about dinosaurs, not necessarily the fossilized type, or just the collection of bones that you would find after a catastrophe like the flood. But these they're still soft tissue, and along with the bones, and so you still have flesh, if you will, with these. With these dinosaurs, and they were probably the last remnants, from the flood, that they had migrated to higher ground, and then ultimately got succumbed with some of the silt and the water, and then died, but were buried, but not fossilized. In the process.
And of course, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, too, talking about the view of some that there was an asteroid that hit the Earth and that caused the extinction of dinosaurs. And I think we refuted that, or at least the evidence refutes that. But is there consensus within the scientific community that dinosaurs could have coexisted with man? Or are we divided into two camps on that score as well as everything else?
Oh, we're definitely divided on that score because obviously the Bible gives us evidence that dinosaurs did live with man, as evidence in Job, for example, 40 and 41, talking about the behemoth and the leviathan, because God used those two animals, so Job certainly knew about them. And, of course, you know, the multiple mentions of serpents or dragons in biblical form that suggests that dinosaurs, or what we now call dinosaurs, lived along with man. So man was very much used to seeing these dragons and these terrible lizards, as the dinosaur name refers to. And so, yes, we should see evidence of, you know, man with dinosaurs. And indeed, here in Texas, at Glen Rose, for example, Dr. Carl Barra has a evidence museum where he has uncovered and made molds of a footprint of a human footprints with dinosaur footprints. So it's like they were running away, and I'm sure they were running away from the floodwaters, and hence, and then they got you know, the footprints themselves. So they were running. It's as if both were running away in the same direction.
Yeah, or one was chasing the other one.
Or what, perhaps, but, you know, since they were in mud layers, which then, obviously, since, you know, got solidified, you have perfect footprints of human footprints as well as dinosaur
and
footprints.
And he believes they would have been made at the same time.
They were in the same mud layer.
Mm-hmm.
So you had multiple mud layers, and this was in the same mud layer, which, of course, is now rock, and clearly seen that, okay, this is a human footprint, and this is a dinosaur footprint. You can't, you know, you can't deny that, with the exception that the human footprint is extremely large. We don't have a human alive today that makes as large footprints. So that that says man was bigger at one point in time, and probably was bigger before the flood. Because after all, I mean, not only did he live in a more perfect environment, which of course encouraged life and growth, but he also lived longer. If you take the literal interpretation of the Bible, which I'm very much inclined to do, then, you know, man's average age was 900 plus. And so seeing a large footprint, which would have made man about 12 to 14 feet high, is not surprising, you know, to me, but to many people, it says, well, that's not a human footprint, because we, you know, we look at today and we think today is what was always in the past, but that's not the case. You know, at all. We know, for example, the Bible describes the catastrophe called the flood, and the flood changed the whole environment of Earth and changed the environment for man. And so looking back, you know, past earlier than the flood you know, gives us information about the history of man that is a little different than what you necessarily would get if you're just looking at it from a secular, materialistic point of view, a God point of view, that no, there was no creator, that things just happened by evolution. And so, you know, as we've talked about many times before, if you take Genesis and if you take, you know, the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament is just recorded history. And, of course, Genesis is no exception to that. You know, it is a recorded history. And in particular, it's a recorded history as you go on through Genesis and you get to Abram, and then his name gets changed to Abraham. It is the recorded history of the Jewish people, but before that time, it's just recorded history of man. And why is it in the recorded history of man? Because man has a curiosity about where he came from. So God does not leave us in the lurch with regard to where we came from. He, has a recorded history of where man came from. And not only man, but where the animals came from and how the animals were formed and this, and such. So that we don't have to guess about these things. We can use the evidence from the Bible and say, hey, does the evidence that we find here on earth justify what we find in the Bible? And the answer to that is always yes.
And add to that, we all know that everything is bigger in Texas, right?
Yes, everything is bigger.
Okay.
So, since you've moved to Texas, you can start experiencing bigger, being bigger.
I'm already putting on weight. Yeah, it's only been 3 years.
It's all that barbecue that you're eating.
could be part of it. Yeah, could be part of it. Yeah, and of course there is reference in the Bible to huge people, to giants. Nephilim and I'm trying to think of the word, Anacolites?
Amalekites?
Not the Amalekites, but there was another people group that was described as being giant people. This is as the Hebrews were moving northward through the desert areas and just before Moses died and they crossed the Jordan. So it's fascinating that we think we know it all and we keep discovering new species. Sooner or later, if there are dinosaurs, somebody's going to get a cell phone picture of one, and I want to see it. I have to tell you, I'll ask you this because I know biology is near and dear to your heart. Carol and I again were sitting on the porch last night, about 10 o'clock, and we're in the habit of we listen to the crickets and we just the silence, and it's just kind of a nice quiet way to end the day. But we've made, and I say this, I can't say it literally, but we made friends with a little critter that's out there in the hedges just about 2 feet below us on the porch. And we call him Chirp because that's the noise that he makes. Now, when we go out, it's silent. And Kara will say, Chirp, are you there? And we'll get this answering little chirp. And then she'll say something and Chirp, whatever it is, will say, I think it's a little lizard. I think maybe we have a dinosaur living in our front yard, but during the night you can't see him. You ever had a similar experience where I know there are small lizards that get to be even 10 to 12 inches from the tip of the tail to that. I've seen them, and they're beautiful creatures. I wonder if they chirp.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I've never heard a lizard chirp. I've heard mm-hmm. frogs chirping, and of course, crickets chirp.
This does not sound like an insect. Does not sound like any frog I've ever heard. But if we put a flashlight, I want to frighten it away. I don't really believe that he's answering us, but it seems to be. Anytime we say something, he chirps, and then it's quiet. And we say something, and he chirps. It's almost like a conversation, and it's kind of neat. But I was just curious, because if you look up Texas lizards, you get all kinds of things. And we've seen some in the house, little tiny ones, little cute ones that we can't find on the internet. So we don't know what they are. But there's a whole realm of creatures out there.
Yeah, ginkgos chirp.
Oh, they do?
Ginkgos chirp.
Okay.
So it might be a ginkgo. And we have
not gecko, but ginkgo.
Well, a gecko.
It is a gecko. Okay. Well, I'll have to look that up then and see, because I'm really curious. I mean, it's just kind of fun pretending we're having a conversation with this thing, because it seems like he responds to us. And
they're fun little creatures. When we did some missionary trips down in Central America, we would see geckos all the time, and they would be in the houses. Okay. And they'd come out at night. They'd be on the walls, and they'd be chirping. Mm-hmm. It could be quite noisy because of the geckos that.
Well, do me a favor, and David, this don't tell anybody I have a wife that talks to geckos. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, it could be the gecko.
Pass it on.
Yeah, it could be the gecko on the insurance company. That is
my wife just talked to the TV set.
Yeah.
I heard her yell this morning. It said, and I, you know, quiet, peaceful in the middle of the hinterland here, and all of a sudden I heard this noise or this sound. Why? And I said, oh, the missus is talking to the TV set.
Must have been a political show, I guess, the figure.
But, yeah. Well, it was the morning news. It was Gail King and her CBS morning news.
Yeah. We learned some things about dinosaurs and about the Bible and how interesting is that book of Genesis. And if you read it as history, and don't pretend that it's science. We're not pretending that it's science. And I'm in the middle of a discussion on the Preserving Bible Times site with one of those internet trolls who insist that science discounts Genesis. It does not. And in fact, there's a lot of science that supports exactly what Genesis tells us, and you can find a lot of it at creationmoments.com. That's their website. Don, being a board member at Creation Moments, will appreciate the library of information they have there on DVDs and blogs and articles and books, and you might pay them a visit. creationmoments.com. Don, thanks very much for joining us, and it was fun, and we'll look forward to next week.
All right, sounds good, and if you see any more of those dinosaurs, make sure you take a photo of them, and then we can post them on Facebook and Instagram and say that Texas, we have discovered dinosaurs in Texas.
Maybe we can get Chirp to come up on the porch, but I'm not sure we really want to see him, you know?
Get really close.
He may already be on the porch. You just, you know,
that's
look
true. Well, we can hear where he's coming from. He's right under our feet here. But
yeah, okay.
Well, we'll see. They have
sticky feet, and they can climb walls. They can hang upside down from the ceiling.
Well, I'll pass along your regards then. Next conversation.
Okay. All right.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Very good. So long.
See you later, Don.